the Hamburg City Council meeting to order for April 24, 2017 at 7 o'clock. If everybody would rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, it looks like everybody's here to discuss an item later, so we don't probably have any public comments. We'll go into an agenda review. Anybody have anything to add, change, subtract?
Mayor and Council, only one thing I got is the handout and letter from Department of Health showing that Mr. Schultz passed his water test.
Put that on the consent agenda.
I put it under new business.
Okay. Anybody else have anything else? I'm looking for a motion to approve the agenda.
So be it.
Okay. Moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All in favor?
All right.
Opposed? Go on to the consent agenda. Look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to accept the consent agenda.
Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
All right.
Opposed? Okay.
Who seconded it?
I know. Who seconded it? Oh.
Yeah. When in doubt, just pretend.
When in doubt, I just put one of them too.
Justin, why don't you guys take a seat up here and we'll get the line on that.
Good evening, everyone.
Justin, good evening.
A couple things in your council package that you have. One is a larger copy of, or the handout of the maps, and then there's also a memo in here describing some of the stormwater improvements specific to the Timberline properties or project, if you will. Just to kind of recap some of our discussion from the last meeting, we had presented a report for a comprehensive look at a 26-acre industrial park. So initiative that started last fall in looking at sanitary sewer, water main, and then also storm sewer for a comprehensive plan for the entire project. One of the things that we had talked about in the comprehensive plan is both water quality treatment, which is shown on each individual lot, and then also rate control, which is for the larger storms, we're releasing the water at a slower rate so it doesn't flood downstream folks. So those are the two components of the stormwater treatment. When we left the meeting, prior to leaving the meeting, the discussion turned more towards what's specific to Timberline. Let's focus in on those couple of lots. And Brian Ford in his most recent property layout. And you can see we've actually incorporated that right onto these plans. So this is what it looks like from the big picture. If you turn the page to the second page, this is where we really got into some detailed design, if you will, or at least preliminary design specific to Brian's property. So we imported a couple of things here. These dashed lines are elevation contours, so you can see the different elevations of where we're at. And then, like I'd mentioned, we showed Brian's site plans on here. And then we did a couple of things. First of all, we showed the sewer and water just extending to that first lot. I'm calling it the first lot. I guess it's the east lot. So sewer and water extending just to that east lot. And then we prepared some hydrologic and hydraulic calculations to determine stormwater pond size. Now, one thing that came to light when we contacted Carver County regarding Brian's specific layout is that the entirety of the east lot is in the city's wellhead protection plan. So because it is in the city's wellhead protection plan, it's considered a sensitive area, and it triggers the rate control requirements for even a 10,000 square foot impact. So we had included a pond for rate control for the overall 26 acres. We need to include that rate control component for any portion of the development. So the resultant design or layout, if you will, shows the water quality basin in green. That's this green dot right here, the green area. That's the water quality basin. That's that filtration basin we talked about where we use sand and put a drain tile through it. That filters the water. The bluer area, this pond location here, is the rate control pond that's required. Now, we didn't, one of the alternatives would be to show this blue pond up on lot 3 here, where we had it in the comprehensive plan. We didn't do that. It would have required more storm sewer piping to show it up in there. That's ultimately where the rate control pond will go, is up in this corner right up here. But it would take more piping to get it up to that location. So for the purpose of tonight's meeting, we showed it right on the corner of Brian's property there. But that's a rate control pond. That pond, at some point in time, would be constructed or moved up into that location. So that's kind of a detailed look at what would be required by MPCA and Carver County for constructing the site as Brian currently has it laid out. So very specific to that property. I'll stop there if there's any questions.
How much did that bring the project up?
Total cost for sewer, water, storm sewer, included contingency and project related, which would be surveying and engineering. So turnkey would be $150,000 for everything. Now that does not include the price of the land, unfortunately. We did budget that into the price because that's still under negotiations. But it went the direction that we were hoping it'd go the other direction. Obviously, when we incorporated all of this in here, it's becoming a more expensive project. You know, if there was a way we could make these requirements go away, we surely would. But it's something that needs to be adhered to by Carver County.
So, Justin, just to clarify something. So, if these two properties, as proposed, were not within that wellhead protection area, or this, or just even in general, the layout of what we're trying to accomplish, that shared pond, that small pond that we're going to put in, or potentially have to be there, that wouldn't be the case then?
This one would be required, the green one would be required, the blue one would not.
Okay.
Now what Carver County told us is, even though this wellhead protection area just touches this lot, they consider this part of a common development plan. So the requirements apply to both lots. So it's part of a common development plan.
Okay. So because of the sensitive area, it's required that we have to...
The rate control requirement kicks in sooner. Yeah. So we had rate control built into the 26 acres. That was the big pond on lot 3. But because it's in within the sensitive area, or at least part of it is, yeah, Carver County is saying that rate control is needed from day one, essentially, right away. But even if we weren't in the sensitive area, you'd still need to have this green basin.
Yeah, the green.
Which is, I included some details in the packet of what that may encompass.
But if we had just a green one, Justin, we could get rid of a lot of piping, right?
Well, we'd still need the piping to go down to the...
To the ditch.
We'd still need the piping to go down to this. So, you know, we could get rid of some piping. I know at the last meeting, the property owner talked about a 12-inch clay tile that we could potentially connect into. I know that's an option, but I'd be very hesitant to do that. I don't know what it's connected to on the upstream end. I'd hate to flood someone else out with that, and it's probably very old. But
it's supposed to be plugged, but I still think anything on this side of Jacob, I think it's still possibly working by some of these houses on this side of Jacob. Okay. I'm not sure, but I'm thinking it's supposed to be plugged by a community hall.
All right.
But there could be some houses on this side of Jacob that could be.
And that makes me a little concerned if we're putting a large volume
it
of water
is plugged
there,
by the hall there now.
Both ways in the pipe or flooding someone's basement out. So I did include in the packet, this is a detail from Carver County that shows kind of the cross section of what the bioretention basin would be. And again, that's that green shaded area. So you can see they have you dig down a couple 3 feet below the surface. You put in washed rock, perforated drain tile. There's a layer of sand. So it's a basin that allows water to be absorbed back into the earth. That's the goal of the biofiltration basin. They're trying to infiltrate water. The second area, the blue area, is what you'd see a typical stormwater pond look like. Open water, 3 or 4 feet deep.
So what triggers that? The green pond area. What specific, if you go in your packet, Justin,
sure,
with the email from Tim Sundby.
Yep.
You know, with the ESC permit or the stormwater permit on Brian's, because Brian was under the assumption that nothing was needed from this email. So
right.
I just want to get some clarification on that.
So the ESC permit. So the stormwater permit is the 10,000 square feet or more of impervious surface within a sensitive area. So that's what you have highlighted in there. And then the ESC permit, less than an acre in a sensitive area.
So now can you further explain on there, if we weren't within the wellhead, you had said that BMP is still needed. What triggers that? I guess I'm just trying to understand what triggers
The
BMP requirement there.
1 to 5 acres of disturbance. So if you look
That'd
at
be the hard surface, right?
Well, that's disturbance. So that's 1 to 5 acres of disturbing soil.
Even if you put it back in grass?
Correct. Okay. So the ESC permit, that's the first one, that's the erosion and sediment control permit, is required from 1 to 5 acres of disturbance. So if you're just disturbing the soil, and then less than 1 acre in a sensitive area. The stormwater permit is greater than 5 acres of disturbance, so that's just construction activity, that's just disturbing the site, and then 1 acre or more of impervious surface, or 10,000 square feet or more of impervious surface within a sensitive area. And then it goes on to define sensitive areas. Areas within 100 feet of DNR protected waters, within 150 feet of water courses, bluff areas, and then wellhead protection areas as adopted by the LGU. LGU is a local government unit, and for Hamburg, it would be City of Hamburg. I mean, it's part of your water protection plan. That's a Minnesota Department of Health requirement. Something that Department of Health has implemented, must be a couple decades ago already, to make sure you're protecting your drinking water area.
What's that radius? Do you know? Just off the top of
your
head?
I don't know off the top of my head.
I just see it's mapped out. I was just curious what the... I have to look at the wellhead protection plan.
So, you know, these requirements are specific to Carver County, not so much the City of Hamburg. Any development in Carver County triggers these.
How much of the project, do we have a breakdown? I'm sure we do, right? As far as how much of the 150,000 we were just mentioning, Justin, would be that stormwater sewer, not the green one that we need, but the...
The other portion?
Yeah.
Okay,
you know, approximately.
There we go. Okay, so the cost breakdown, I think I did include that.
Yeah, that's in here.
Okay, let me see if I can break it out here. So just to dig the stormwater pond itself, we had estimated that at about $20,000. Now that doesn't include any of the piping or the inlet or all the structures. So that's the stormwater pond. But Chris, you had asked about the basins.
Yeah.
That basin, we had estimated that at about $4,000. And then we've got some washed rock. Let's see, I'm trying to piece this together here. It's another 2,400. Wait, probably what? About $6,000 or $7,000.
The reason I asked the question and bring it up is just if it's possible, and I don't know if it's possible, Ryan, as far as that would be concerned, but moving it down closer to the ditch, further to the west, get out of that wellhead. I mean, that puts a gap, unfortunately, between us and the property, but at least it gets us out of the wellhead and brings the cost down for right now anyway, and then any future expansion, you know, that we do in that area, we can pass that cost under that development.
Mr. Mayor, how could it bring the cost down? We got to go further with the water main and the storm sewer.
Well, that's
and
what
sanitary.
Right, and that's what we'd have to play the pros and cons against.
There's no way that it's going to bring the cost down.
The other issue you got to look at is for bringing that into city limits too. So you got to butt that up.
Yeah.
So you got to bring that other property in too.
You're right.
We could and we couldn't. Sister city to the north did the very similar thing when they brought in the trucking group where they leapfrogged.
Okay. We'd have to address that wetland to make sure that's delineated, because one of those sensitive triggers was 150 feet of within a DNR protected waterway. Well, they consider this a waterway, a DNR wetland. So we'd have to delineate that to make sure that that's...
What are we looking at there? 6 month process to...
Yeah.
3 month process, It's process to go through wetland delineation?
It would be several months, at least. So what we're going to be doing is trying to show that it's not a wetland, and I'm sure there's going to be some back and forth with Carver County. So that's...
And I guess the other thing, just kind of where we have the... so to say, the holding pond, that's going to be upon Brian's property.
Right now it's shown on Brian's property. Like I said, we just did that to, mm-hmm. We're really focused in on just Brian's projects here. I mean, if I could fold the map back, I mean, we weren't even thinking about the 26 acres. But if we want to think again, big picture 26 acres, then this pond should probably be built up where we were planning to put a pond in the first place. I mean, then it'd be kind of all encompassing. But
then you open a whole nother can of worms. Who's going to buy that parcel of land?
Well, you're correct. Absolutely. You'd have to purchase that parcel of land and have some type of easement or access to it to own it, maintain it. So that's what we were struggling with this too. And I know it feels like there's a lot of roadblocks here, but we're trying our best too to come up with some solutions to make it viable. But there's a number of things to consider.
Any questions from the council?
Well, I think we got to get Brian an answer tonight, either yes or no. I mean, but I don't, Brian, how much are you willing to? Then I don't think the discussion really has to even go any further, because the city can't do it. There's no way we can afford it.
No, I mean, if it's 150 grand, like you're saying that it's going to be, and then if we have to buy the property,
yep.
That's basically half of our budget that we set in play from last year.
Yeah, Ryan, I'm sorry, but I wish this would have got probably going last fall for you. You would have had a better answer, and you probably would have. You would have known a lot by 1st of January, but there's no way we can afford any of this because we just ain't got the money to do it. I mean, I wish you the best of luck, but there's just, if you can't afford to do this, we sure can't. I mean, that's, if we went out and started paying for some of this stuff and all of this stuff and then come back and something goes to heck with the water tower, and we're going to get strung up by the taxpayers of this town. And we're really not, the city is not in my way of looking at this, the city's not into developing. I mean, if you can go out and find a developer and say, hey, I want to build here, you know, you want to come and buy some of this and develop it, fine. Tell them to come to the meeting and let's keep the ball rolling, but unless you can do that, I can't. I don't know what the rest of you guys feel like.
Well, just kind of to add on to that and put that in perspective, though, when you look at our cost, if this is not even buying the land, just looking at the improvement side of it, for if we go back, take the whole 23 acres as a full picture, mm-hmm. we're looking at 80 to 90,000 an acre to develop.
And like I know, like Norwood, they're giving it $1 a square foot. So on an acre of land, you got $43,560 invested.
That's right.
The difference between here is if you're buying them 3 acres for, say, $26,000 an acre, you got $78,000 invested in that. Okay, and then we were hoping we could get that cut in half like we instructed Justin to do. But until this water with the storm water came in, that kind of blows everything right out of picture, because I mean, if you go over to Norwood, you know, buy 3 acres over there, it would cost you $137,000. So you got $78,000 over here, you got $118,000, but then you don't have no dirt work or nothing moved yet. You're not going to move that, or you're not going to get that done for $12,000 to balance it out. So, I mean, that's, I'm really sorry, but there's just no way we can afford to do any of this.
No, I get it.
And I don't want to hold you up anymore either if you really, I don't want to chase you out of town by no means, buddy, but, you know, what if we can't do it, we can't do it.
Council? I agree. It's unfortunate. I mean, it's just, this thing as a city, it's not ready for it.
I know I talked to a couple of a former mayor the other night and got his opinion of it and what he thought, and he said sometime back when he was mayor, he said they tried to, for a development too, and he said we couldn't swing. He said unless you can get a developer to come in and say, hey, I want to build here, but I need to, you know, mm-hmm. some help, I got to get somebody to develop this land, that he's willing to put everything up front and you come to an agreement with him on how much it's going to cost you when it's all said and done, you know. But as far as I would say we're not set up to take on any of this.
Any further guidance or input? Sounds like, unfortunately, that we're not going to be able to move the project forward, so. Anything else from anybody else? Justin, Brian?
Thank you for all your work, Justin.
Yeah.
A lot of work.
This is...
We tried really hard. Sorry, couldn't have brought better news tonight, but I didn't want to tell you something that wouldn't happen either.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, silver lining in this, but now we know what we're up against if we want to develop the land.
Future wise.
You know, which we didn't know 6 months ago or even 8 months ago.
Right.
I didn't even know about the wellhead issue or anything of that nature. So.
You guys are in a good position if someone walks to the door and says, I want to buy this piece of property. Jeremy's got the report on the shelves.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We know what we're facing now, at least.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks,
thank
Justin.
You. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Good luck.
Okay, move on to the next piece of business. Anthony, you're up.
Hey. Hey there, I see some new faces here today. That's always encouraging. I always like seeing new faces at town hall meetings and things like that. It just means you got a vibrant community going on. People getting involved. I'm always encouraged to see that kind of stuff. I'm assuming you guys have copies of the change lease. Did Jerry do that?
Yep.
Okay. Anyway, my name is Anthony Will. I'm the Vice President of Broadband Corp. We currently have equipment on your water tower that services both the community of Hamburg and the surrounding area with high-speed internet services. And we would like to upgrade the existing equipment. I don't know if everybody here is familiar with how this all worked out, but originally this network was built by oh wow, I'm not even sure Kloni ISP built it. It might have been To the Home.
To the Home.
Yeah, and then after that, Kloni ISP bought it, and they just didn't realize the egg they had purchased, so they sold it to us. Now, we've managed to actually get it to work, you know, made some pretty significant investments into it already. But now we're in a position where we're trying to literally just forklift the entire network that we had purchased, which we had done that 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. So that's what we're here about. We're need to discuss adding additional equipment to the tower. There would be an interim stage where we're going to have the existing network, because obviously we don't want to kill people's internet connection, right? So there would be an interim position where we would have both technologies in play, and then we would migrate the existing customer base over. Some of that's going to require it going to the individual customers and replacing equipment. Some of it we can do with just software changes. But and then the removal of the existing equipment and the deployment of the new system. Now, the new system is a completely different technology platform. There's actually the what I hope to accomplish this evening is approval so that we can actually have two separate systems on there. The current technology is problematic in that it uses the same frequency space as your home Linksys router or NIC or whatever Wi-Fi router you have in your home. And that creates a lot of interference issues because we got to deal with, you know, the consumer's home router itself, but then all of their neighbors' home routers also. And basically, it's kind of the wild, wild west. Whoever's got the biggest gun wins. And we got some pretty big guns, but we still, it's a problematic concern for us and causes slowdowns and it's an environment we can't control, which is very difficult to work around and work in. So the one system is going to be a completely different frequency that won't be nearly as impacted. And then we would still need to maintain a system on the existing frequency for the customers that couldn't get switched over to the new one, because unfortunately the newer system, though it's much cleaner, it cannot shoot through anything. Can't shoot through a bush, a tree, anything. It's got to have a perfectly clear shot. So there are going to be some customers that just won't be able to maintain that shot. So we'll still have to maintain that other system. Now the new technology is better at dealing with interference because it's not Wi-Fi. So it's, I guess, a little bigger gun, you can put it that way. But that's what I'm hoping to get done today. The lease, the original lease, there's really only two significant changes, if I recall. One, the original lease was actually for only a year term. So we probably need to change that. And then the second thing is the equipment amendment. Otherwise, everything else in the lease, I believe, is still the same as the original. Right? Yeah, there wasn't any, was there, yeah, that was only two, right, Jeremy?
Yep.
Yeah, that's only two things. So, anybody has any questions? Oh, I should mention too, with the new technology, we'll be deploying our next. Right now, we're not comfortable. We only offer one plan, and that's our $40 plan. We're not comfortable offering any faster services on the existing platform. The new technology, we plan to offer our more, you know, like our 25 megabit plan and, you know, faster speeds as, you know.
What does the 40 give you? Is that 10 or?
12.
12.
12, yeah. Yeah, it's basically, should be right in that same price area as like CenturyLink, if you got a CenturyLink connection. I don't know what kind of services or speeds CenturyLink can do here, but they're advertised as 12. Typically in these kind of areas, most people see anywhere from 1 to, you know, maybe 10, 12 if they happen to be really lucky. But generally speaking, it's closer to like 3 or 4. So, but so that's what we offer right now. And then this technology, day one, we'd be offering our $60 plan for a 25 megabit connection. So that's pretty much the spiel.
So, Anthony, can you just kind of go over the equipment list and just kind of just roughly explain what you have up there now and what you'll be adding?
Right. So in Appendix A, list that all out. So the very first box is on the top there. That's the existing equipment. So right now we have three sectors. And unfortunately, again, this was deployed by To The Home. This is when they were super, super green. I mean, they never really did learn, but this was like their first deployment. And the design, they only did three sectors, and they used kind of sloppy antennas. So those three sectors are up there that operate in the 2.4 gigahertz range. Then there's a backhaul that shoots towards our tower in Young America, and another backhaul that shoots towards our tower in New Auburn. So that's what's up there right now. The backhauls are dishes, so, you know, they're circles. And then the sectors are the more rectangular ones if you've ever looked at your water tower to see what's up there. But so we would be, ultimately, we would be removing those three sectors, the three rectangular ones, and one of the dishes. Now, one of the things we're doing, and I don't know where they are in the process yet, but we're actually having Jaguar bring in a piece of fiber right to the base of the water tower so that we can eliminate the shock that goes to Young America.
Have they mapped out a proposed route for you or anything? Or
my son, I know they're, I think their tie-off is just right here. Just, it's either just on the outside of town, but I'm pretty sure it's on this road here.
Yeah.
And then my assumption is that they're going to just follow the road and, you know, do the little hook to the right and then come up that back side there. But I have no idea. That's, I leave that to them. They're the fiber guys. Yeah. I'm the wireless guys, you know. We pay them to figure all that out and work with you guys. And then once they get it done, then they charge me a bunch of money. So we'll be eliminating the one dish. We'll only have the one other dish antenna still going to New Auburn. And that's actually going to tie into our fiber optics that is being installed at New Auburn now. So if the Jaguar line should fail, we can go off of RS Fiber's fiber optics that we're having installed over there. So we'll have a redundancy to service into both Hamburg, but also if Jaguar has a cut further up the ring, right, and it knocks one of our other towers out, it'll allow us to route that this way instead of it going that way, if that makes any sense. So that's why we're actually bringing the fiber optics in. Normally, this tower is actually, because of the deployment strategy, the original deployment strategy, and things like that, Hamburg's like one of the least populated towers we have. And it's honestly because it's just, we have a certain quality of a connection. We don't sign up a customer unless we can get a certain quality of a connection. And it's just incredibly hard to do that on this tower. So we only have like 29 customers on this tower, all said and done, including inside and outside of town. We're hoping to get more customers on it after this technology to actually become a usable asset for us. But right now it's, we always shoot somewhere else. It's never shoot at Hamburg. It's always, you know, one of our other towers around the area. Hamburg's always the last, you know, okay, great. Well, yeah, it's good. You know, we hope to actually make it better so we can use it.
So with the existing equipment and the change-out equipment, what's the net effect on the tower?
The net effect, okay. So basically we're, the very last boxes are what we're removing, right? So the net effect is we'll be adding the four completely different system, the 5 gigahertz broadcast system, right? So that's four rectangular antennas, about the same size as what's up there now.
Okay.
then we'll be changing out, replacing those three with a four sector deployment. So you'll have one additional antenna there, right? But we're removing one of the dishes. So that brings you down to, I believe, a total of four. So right now you have five. When it's all said and done, you'll have eight, nine on there. So that's four additional antennas.
And then at some point in time, that it will be down to four, or?
No, with that, we would maintain both of those systems.
So really, you're looking at adding four antennas.
Yeah, net gain. Net, I mean, there's going to be an interim period there where we have both technologies, and I'll be upfront. It could take us a year to swap everything out. Now, the structure itself, these antennas don't really create a lot of load. You know, they're maybe that wide, about yay tall. The railing they're mounted to catches more wind and has more load on it than what we're putting on there to begin with. It's, you know, I'm sure you've seen water towers that look like parking lines. You know, just antennas everywhere. So as far as structural kind of concerns or anything like that, it's really a non-concern. Especially if the one dish antenna, no, we moved. Originally, I think they had the one dish antenna like mounted to like a pipe at the very top hanging off of this one little piece of angle iron. I'm pretty sure we removed that. Yeah. And I hated that thing. So I got that down and put it on the better mount.
I guess I wasn't really worried about necessarily the net load, you know, on it from the wind and that. I was just thinking from an aesthetic standpoint.
Sure.
It's kind of, it's our icon. You know, people have come to know in Hamburg for that water tower. So,
right.
I don't want a water tower that looks like
a porcupine.
Yeah.
Right. Well, unfortunately, they're not really big tall whips or, you know, cellular systems, the antennas usually, you know, from the floor, they can be 4 or 5 feet tall each, you know, where these are, you know, about 2.5, 3 feet tall. They're about the same size as the rail itself. So, I mean, if you've seen the ones that are up there, it's nearly identical in their size, you know, and how they look. Yeah. There's antennas of, haven't really changed a whole lot since the 50s. You know, the basic theory of the antenna is still the same as it was 50 years ago. So you're not going to see a lot of difference there.
Right. Any questions from the council?
Just one thing I want to point out that we haven't discussed, but sure. And maybe you're not so much up to date, Anthony, but we're begging to get 5 more years out of that tower.
Right, sure, yeah.
So we know down the pipeline here, you know, we're going to need a new tower.
Yeah, sure.
So just a heads up, you know, on that. I mean,
yeah, I actually, this year we're going to be buying what's called a COW, cellular on wheels. It's essentially a temporary tower because, now, just so you're aware, other than Cologne ISP, I'm on one other water tower, and they're not optimum locations. Generally, we're on tower steel. That's where we like to be. And one of the big reasons is, you know, you got to repaint them, you know, and if there is any work, water tower infrastructure is not getting any younger, you know, and a lot of times that stuff either has to come down or at the very least, you know, power shut off to it or whatever. And so, you know, but we're investing in infrastructural resources that will allow us to, it might be not as, you know, as favorable conditions, but at least it's something we can, you know, as you're doing the work to either reline the towers or whatever. And I don't know if you plan on, like, putting a whole new tower up.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, that guy's got some years on him. You know, so that project's probably at least 6 months, but presumably you're not going to take that tower down and then build a new one, right? You would have to do them coincide, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can't shut the water off to the people, right?
Right.
So I don't expect that to be a huge concern. It would just mean a matter of, and,
You know, like I think Young America's had their old water tower still standing there for, that thing hasn't been used for a decade, I think. But it's still standing there, I suspect. You know, as money arrives, right, whenever you happen to get a windfall, you might tear the old one down. So, you know, that's I'm not overly concerned about it, but it's good to know. It's definitely good to know.
And then this is looking at the same $50 a month rent?
That's what I propose. Again, we only have the 29 customers on here. And with the investments we're making into the site, it's going to be difficult for us to absorb a significant increase in the rent. I'm willing to everything's negotiable, but just realize that's where we're coming from. You know, even if I, you know, if I think if I broke that out, it's probably such roughly making 250. I'm gonna guess right around $700 a month. So right now, you're probably pulling in about 7-ish% of the revenue the tower's generating already at the $50 mark. You know, there's not a lot of room there, but everything's negotiable. I don't want to shut it off. I have done that. I told Mayor to take a hike, and I just
want to make this work.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's your job, though. Right? That's your job. You're supposed to make me square. Appreciate it.
But, yeah, that was going to be my next question, and then adding on to that.
Right.
To that is the council comfortable with 5-year terms?
Five years? I thought it's 10 years. Automatic.
No. Four renewal terms. Of 60 months each, which I see there's a typo in there.
Automatic.
It says 4(3).
Oh,
yeah. So we should change that.
Yep.
And then also, usually, typically, anytime we do some type of agreement where we tie ourselves to time, I usually have the attorney review it. So that'd be my recommendation, but I don't know what council's thoughts are.
Now, I don't recall, did this get originally reviewed way back when?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah. So, laws could change or whatever. I'm not advising you not to. The changes are pretty straightforward. I don't know if the lawyer needs to tell you the changes are straightforward. I'm always, why waste a buck when you don't have to? Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts from the council?
I guess with the 5-year thing, within 5 years we're going to have to replace the water tower anyway, so mm-hmm. don't know.
Yeah, it's probably going to time out real well, right?
Yeah.
We're going to end up renegotiating it at that time. And that's the reason why we do 5-year blocks. It's kind of the idea that it gives you guys an opportunity. It's not really a 20-year lease. It gives you guys an opportunity every 5 years to take a look at the lease and mm-hmm. sit that back down and renegotiate if things change. Usually things don't change a whole lot in 5 years between, you know, yeah. in this kind of an environment. So it's a good number that we found works for.
Unless your revenues blow up, then we might have to.
Right, yeah, you know. Yeah. Well, then I'd be like, yeah, sure.
You know, you'd welcome that, right?
You wouldn't be talking to me, though. I'm sitting drinking margaritas on my yacht, you know. But I don't, you know, maybe 10 years ago I was thinking that might be possible someday. It's getting a lot less possible every day. Yeah. You get older, dang it. Yeah.
So what's the council's wishes? Do we want to move forward, have Mac take a look at this, and then we meet just in a couple of weeks anyway again, so it's not like we have a long time lag between now and the next meeting.
Yeah, well, and my plan isn't to make, I'm not going to be able to even implement these changes in, you know, less than 4 weeks anyway. I mean, the reason why we're talking today is because I plan to do that this year. You know, mm-hmm. It's kind of like I need to have this done tomorrow.
Okay. What is this on number 3? Is it 4 or 3 or renewal?
It's 4.
four times at 60 months.
It's supposed to be three, actually. So you have the initial 5-year term.
And then three.
And then it's three. Yeah, it's not supposed to be four. It's supposed to be three. So it's a 20-year agreement.
Okay.
Of, it's 4-5-year agreements. So that's 20-year total encompassing.
At $50 a month?
Well, that's the thing. That's why it's a 5-year term, right? Okay. So we can sit down and renegotiate every 5 years.
All right.
So it's technically, it's really only a 5-year lease. But if nobody has any reason to want to change anything, then it just renews.
Then it just renews. Yeah. So you're good to go.
I got that.
So now, Steve, now is the time to want to raise the rent.
Yeah.
Today is it. Now is the time to talk about raising the rent. If you want to do it.
And then you tell the mayor to take it.
Well, I told the city of mayor to take
it. Oh, gotcha. And then you said the mayor.
No, I told the city of mayor to take it.
Well, yeah. I don't think it's costing us anything to have it up there, is it?
No.
So I guess I'm good with the $50 as long as there's insurance on it, so that the city isn't liable for anybody goes up there and falls down or kills himself or whatever. So.
Everybody else in agreement?
Yeah,
I agree. We'll have our Mac take a look at it.
Sure.
And then next council meeting, unless Mac comes back with something crazy,
yeah,
we'll it'll be approved at the next council meeting.
Great. Sounds like a plan. Jeremy, if you want to let me know, if I need to be here, let me know. If I don't. Okay. And you're welcome to.
I'd say
just change that 4 to 3. I'm
sure.
Just,
and I think as long as Matt doesn't have any objections, council's thoughts, I don't think you need to be here.
If he's a grammar Nazi, we're gonna have problems. I had there's two versions of the lease. There's this one, and then there's the mayor copy of it. And the mayor copy lawyer was just bilking the snot out of me because they made me pay for the lawyer. And literally, the only changes he made were grammatical. Like, you know, like there versus there or something. Just
probably get Grammarly cheaper than.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, now that is something I will offer right now. Mac, I'm assuming it's your lawyer, right?
Yeah.
Whatever his billable, as long as it's reasonable being, you know, maybe if he takes more than like an hour of billable to look at this, but you guys can invoice me for that. I'm happy to pay for the lawyer to do that for you guys. If it takes more than an hour to look at this, then you need a new lawyer.
Yeah. And then, Anthony, if you hear anything more from Jaguar about the connections they're trying to accomplish for you, can you let Jeremy know just so we can get a timeline on when just things are happening?
If they
let you know.
Yeah, they're not gonna. They're just gonna tell me, show up today, we're gonna light it up.
Okay.
That's what it's gonna be.
Okay.
They don't ask me about my network, I don't ask them about theirs. I mean, we are direct competitors, but we have a good working relationship, but I don't have any insights into what they do. Okay. They're gonna keep me at arm's length and vice versa. I get them there. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good.
Okay. And then, I don't, is the city on the Cartman ring yet?
Yeah, the city is, yeah. Yep.
And you guys have been pretty happy with how that's been performing?
So far, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I know the ring itself has been pretty good for us.
Yeah, we've been quite pleased with it.
Well, one other thing that, we offer this to every city we work with. If you want it, even as just a backup, you're welcome to have us bring the line in. We're happy to do that.
Sounds good.
Well, you guys have a good one, and we'll get back to the tedious tax of tracking where every buck goes.
Thank you, Anthony.
All right, we'll move on to old city business, county transportation sales wheelage tax. Just to let everybody know, they had an open forum, the county commissioners did, on April 18th. I did attend that, shared our thoughts as a council, and I shared a few other thoughts on top of it as well, just as a private citizen. And so the proposal, and I have what they handed out here, but what they're proposing now is a half cent sales tax, and they're still doing the $20 per vehicle wheelage tax. Also, was that?
I thought it was $10. No.
It's $10
five,
currently.
It's five to ten. Going from five to ten.
Okay. And then also, I must have missed this when they first talked about, but there's a special transportation projects excise fee that's in there that's built into the sales tax of $20. Essentially what that is, they're gonna, for everybody who buys or sells a car, there's a $20 excise charge. So whether you do a private transaction or it's a dealership doing it, I guess they talked about it originally, and then as the conversation moved on, they lumped it into the half percent sales tax instead of cutting it out. So I kind of asked for clarification on that point. But the open forum section, there was probably took a little over an hour and change, about an hour and 15 minutes or so. A lot of people on both sides of the aisle on it. Some really good questions were raised. And so the commission went ahead and instructed their city or their county administrator, Hemsey, to go ahead and write the proposal up, and with the $20 or with the half cent sales tax, $20 excise fee, and then also the $20 and raising the wheelage tax from $10 to $20, and then with the idea that it would sunset in 20 years. So that was the new proposal. The next meeting is going to be, I believe it's May 2nd. They're going to hold the next meeting to make the decision. And I think they're going to hold it at 4 o'clock so they can get a better turnout from the public on that as well. So if anybody wants to go down, I encourage it. Like I say, May 2nd. I don't know what day of the week it is. Is it Tuesday, I think?
I think so, yeah.
So if there's more than three of us that want to go to it, I think we just cover our butts. Maybe we just do a special meeting notice for that day. We don't want to violate any open meeting law, even though it doesn't really fall in the purview of the open meeting law, but
yeah,
better to be safe than sorry. Yeah. That's where we've always operated. I mean, even the national night out, we technically don't have to do it, but we do it anyway. So, but yeah, May 2nd, I believe it's going to be at 4 o'clock. At least that's what they talked about at the commission. I will do everything. I think I'll be able to attend it. So if anybody else wants to be there, I'll meet you there because I'll be on the other side of town.
What time is that again?
Four o'clock, I believe they're going to hold it. That's what they talked about because they had such a, I mean, they packed the room. I mean, there were people standing outside the room at the open forum. So, and then once the open forum was done, there was nobody in the room. Or hardly anybody. And it was just fun to go watch how they conduct their meetings too. So. Like I said, I got the stuff from the meeting. If anybody wants a copy, Jeremy can make a copy for you.
I believe it's May 2nd, 4 o'clock, if they have a special board meeting. So.
Be for that. Mm-hmm. City administration offices.
No real update. I think everything's ready. It's just a matter of making the transfer into the office right now and the doors, I think. We're just a little concerned with how things would go tonight in relation to the doors.
That desk and the doors are off the table.
Yeah. But hopefully we have no issues there.
Jason, you build doors? Desk?
is the desk a go ahead or what is on that?
No, nothing's been finalized, but obviously I think last meeting we had the estimates in there and Ryan was half the price of all the other estimates we got.
Are we gonna settle out tonight or?
Well, I think what
we looked at is we have $6,000. My proposal is just to put a regular door in between the offices. Others have said, you know, to do the split door. I don't know what council's issues are. My thing is to save some money. I mean, I'm always looking to save a buck. Is just put a regular door in, is my opinion, because either it's going to be open or closed. I really don't see that. It's probably going to be open most of the time. Anyways, I'd have to say probably 90% of the time, unless I'm meeting with someone. I mean, I don't see otherwise what's the need of...
I'm going to be going... this door and put them back there?
You know, if possible, I mean, if it can be salvaged to do that, I mean, it's a huge cost saving to just take that door, put it there.
Because it doesn't need to be a solid wood door in between us.
Yeah. You want a half door? I don't need it. I mean...
No, I just want the half one on the front.
Yeah, we definitely leave the half door up front. Main entrance should be there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And if we can move that door into the space, because it's, like you said, it's either going to be open or it's going to be closed. And the reason it's going to be closed...
is if I'm meeting with someone or... Especially. It's a... special occasion or a private matter, you know, so.
Yeah, and then just pricing kind of the furniture, we're thinking desk and then maybe table chairs. We'd have a meeting spot.
Yeah.
Within our parameter of the budget.
I guess half of it's on me because I haven't really looked at what kind of layout I want in the office yet. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I know that desk is old and could be replaced, but I've had it 20 years. I mean, it does its job.
And the top is nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other feedback from the council? Right. Why don't you guys work something up and we'll decide next meeting?
Yeah, because I think the main thing is I want to get the desk put in the other room so we can see what we want to do for spacing-wise and cabinets and, you know, I apologize, but yet...
It's been busy.
It's been busy with this... with Brian's ordeal here, it's been a lot of back and forth with engineer looking at things and discussion, and also I'm going through the audit right now, so that's kind of taking up most of my time. So you'll soon be getting that all 170 some pages of enjoyment. So
this other desk can be started then, or grant them go ahead, or
we have to decide because we got to look at the $6,000 that we have, and we have to look at the cost for
everything, the whole picture.
Everything.
So
I just know it's been going on and on, and it's time to close that and get it going, get it done. We're going to do it. Everything lasts forever around here, you know. Never gets done.
Well, like I said, half's on me. I mean, I haven't been trying to get other things done than worry about moving into that office. There's other priorities I've had, so.
I'd say let's put this one to bed next meeting.
Okay.
Move on to the...
Yeah, so... the estimates from Rob's. So I did meet with Rob's and we went through and looked at all kind of the other options in town where we have high energy usage from lighting. So kind of the main thing we looked at is was it 545? 545 for the flagpole here, about 600 in the park, a little more in the park because of the height. So there they'll have to bring out the boom. We looked at the monument. Roughly we're looking at $2,450, change out the monument. And then the community hall. What we looked at doing the community hall was the floodlights on the south side of the hall and then along the ramp, replacing them because them are all them high sodium bulbs or high energy users. So that was $1,560 and then same with the water treatment plant that has them high sodium bulbs. That was $1,420. We didn't really budget for it, so my thought was is kind of we chip away at this and then add to the budget. You know, one of the interesting things I think that what I've looked at would probably be the most cost effective would be to replace the bulbs for the flagpoles. I mean, because you look at that, basically the payback is in a little over a year. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're looking at, them lights are on 12 hours a day on average, so, you know, 10 to 12. Probably 10 throughout the year. on average. So, you know, in a little over a year, they pay for themselves.
So with them two projects, what does that cost?
$11.45.
We can handle that?
Yeah, that we can look at doing, you know, in repairs and maintenance or type line item.
And community hall and water treatment plant, and that will chip away as we...
Yeah, I think we'll look at budget items then for the future. It at least gives us an idea of what we're looking at.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be a flagpole and then this ballpark flag, right?
Yep. That one and the other community center flagpole here and the ballpark. Bicentennial Park.
I'll make a motion we go with Rob's Electric on existing flagpole, change it to LED lights at $545, and the other flagpole
$600,
and then chip away at the rest whenever we can.
Motion on the floor to go ahead and use Rob's Electric for the two flagpoles, one up here and the one at the ballpark in the park. Any further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Okay. So we can get Bob's and Rob's and get that moving on that.
Yep. And then just under new city business, just want to point out that, as stated earlier, Greg scored 77 on his test, so he is officially licensed to be our water operator. So as far as discussion, I think I'll put it on the docket for next meeting. Because one of the things we will want to look at is our current contract with Kurt Reitz, who does our water. So I would like to, haven't done it now because we kind of have man down situation here in Hamburg, I think. You know, Kurt had some surgery done and Greg had his other hand done for carpal tunnel. Greg's still working, but he ain't on full heavy lifting duty yet. So I want to be able to, once Kurt is back, to sit down with both of them and iron out a plan that Greg's comfortable with. So to see if we want to go down to one day a week or what we want to do. Because I think it'll be very valuable to keep Kurt on yet to help guide him through instead of just throwing Greg into the fire and saying, well, you got your lights in. But, you know, so I think it'd be very beneficial to keep Kurt on and guide Greg through it probably till Greg's comfortable, you know, taking that all on himself.
You can kind of work in between vacations or something to make sure there's somebody.
Well, there's that too. Then you have a backup.
Yeah.
When there's an issue too.
Just out of curiosity, what kind of money are we paying this Kurt right now?
We pay him about $7,200 a year. Mm-hmm. So what I would look at, you know, especially if we cut that in half, hopefully. Okay. But the also thing is, a nice thing with Kurt is, I don't think he's ever tried to take a dime from the city. He's maybe donated a dime more than he's taken. He also helps Greg on a lot of projects when they do televising, replacing meters. So especially too with the meters coming down the line, looking at replacing them, that might be very helpful to have him on too to help Greg do some of these two-man type jobs.
Yeah, we've definitely won with that contract.
Yeah.
It's, I don't even think it's even a close contest now.
Yeah.
Fair question, but
yeah.
And I was just curious, like, what are we going to be saving by having Greg have this? So, with the curtain from the horse, I mean.
Right.
But is there going to be any talk of further down the road here? Is there going to be anything in this for Greg?
Right.
That's what will have to be discussed at next meeting, too, because typically what the city's done in the past is up to about a buck an hour raise.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, that's typical. I mean, my certifications are working.
I mean, one thing, I'll stick up for Greg any day into the end. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very hard employee to replace. With the knowledge he has, having both his licenses and his mechanical skills, very, very valuable employee there.
I guess my angle is just if we're going to save X amount of dollars, you know, we don't have to throw it out like Greg, but I mean, something to show appreciation that he put the initiative to take the test and in turn save some money.
10 weeks of every Monday night for 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
It was a commitment.
Absolutely.
Right, well, after you have that meeting with those two guys, then we can discuss that going forward.
Yep.
Anybody else have any other new business for the good of the city? If not, we'll move on to council reports.
Before you jump to council, I just wanted to report that I talked to the officers about their speeding issue.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you just want to keep an eye on it, just shoot me an email how it's been. Because it sounds like he's already written a few tickets.
Yeah.
Oh,
so he's already been.
Hopefully, like we said, that word will get around and hopefully take care of that issue.
Awesome.
Otherwise, he'll be back.
Okay, cool.
Councilman Buckington. Anything? Nope. Councilman Trevish.
I don't know if it's premature or not, but National Night Out. Start making some plans again or something again, I suppose.
Yeah, I think we kind of keep the same routine. We'll be all right. Typically what we do is I get the supplies. Steve gets the corn. We set up a night. We check the corn the night before.
Yep.
I take care of the supplies. Greg takes care of getting the grill and stuff. So I think we have a pretty good...
Yeah.
But just keep it on the radar
so that...
It's done, but yeah.
Just put on your project list.
Yeah, because it'll sneak up soon enough here, so.
What May is it usually?
The first Tuesday in August.
And we usually have a pretty good turnout.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's come up the last couple of years.
I guess it was down 2 years ago, but then last year was up again a little bit.
We shucked a lot of corn. Coming out.
Yeah.
Jeremy and his wife and daughters and me.
Yeah.
We shut it off.
Last year.
Anything else, Councilman Trevish?
That's
it. Councilman
Feltman. You were chipping, Jeremy. Did Greg get a hold? Did you hear anything?
He did get a hold of him, and he gave him a number to another guy that'll do it.
Herman Landscaping in Jordan.
Yeah.
Herman.
Yep.
I give Greg two other numbers, too.
Okay, but it sounded like this guy was willing to come and do ours, possibly Arlington, and even possibly talk to Mayor, too.
Because
I know them two towns, too, of last few years have been trying to get
Herman,
that.
You mean, or Castle Rock?
Herman. Yeah.
Okay, good.
And then he talked about, instead of, what was it, $500?
$500.
And then
they take the chips.
You would,
they
would take as long as it's... chips.
Yeah.
Because he says sometimes he says you never know what you find in these piles. And then he would propose like coming every year then. So then that way it's done and we don't have any.
Greg said that this money can be recouped
through the compost grant. Yep, correct.
Okay.
Yep.
So, the other scenario I present, Greg just walked in the door and there's a 4-inch hole in the side of the water tower. What do we do?
On the side?
What do we do?
Oh, then we... Probably I'd be on the phone to our engineer and to McGuire Iron about emergency repair.
Okay, so we do have a plan in case something like...
Yeah.
I was by Mike yesterday and I was looking at that water tower. And she's...
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know... I didn't realize it was that rusty on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't.
Yeah, and we've already... I've already talked to Justin, our engineer... Because we do have some areas, and he's given me some information and putting us in contact with someone that can take care of the issues on the roof.
Okay.
We do have a couple issues on the roof where we have holes. Because we've had that before where, oh, I can't remember his name now. But we've had it before where we've had emergencies, and usually someone will come out within an hour or two.
Okay. We should be able to run, like when they're cleaning the tower, we should be able to run the city until it gets repaired, though, right? Drain down the tower?
Typically, what we do when we do that is we'll drain the tower the night before, try to before they come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then put a relief valve on one of the hydrants. And
you can still, we lose water, but at least we're still
right. Safe. I mean, you don't have the same pressure, but at least you got water.
Okay.
Yep.
So we've got a plan and.
Yep.
All right. I'm happy.
Yeah, me and Greg have talked about it extensively lately with Justin because of, when did we have a meeting? We actually had a meeting, me and Greg, and we sat down with Justin and talked about, you know, what do we do? Where are we at? Because what if that thing tips over?
Yeah, good. And nothing else. Yeah.
We don't want that.
Yeah, okay. These finally came, so I just passed these out to these to take a look at them. When, Councilman Trevish, myself, and Jeremy went down to speak with Mr. Nash, we got to take a picture in, the Speaker of the House's chair. And that, we're hoping they were going to send it to us digitally so we could do more things with it, but they sent it to us
the old fashioned way.
Yeah, well, hey, that's the only way my pigeon carries it.
I believe that. Can I hang on to this big of an envelope?
He's surprised. He got some pretty big talents.
Other than I have nothing else, I look for a motion to adjourn.
So be it.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn the Hamburg City Council meeting at 8:12. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Don't have to stay. Don't have to go.